Okay, we're on page 940. Page 940. Okay, we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu is admonishing the Jews to a certain extent, but all in hidden, not openly admonishing them. After he conquered the lands of Sichon and Og, after he did everything, he was good for the Jews. And right before he dies. Last time we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jews to go to the land that he swore to the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We discussed what the shvuah means. Number one, that even if the Jews don't deserve it, they get it anyway. And secondly, like we discussed, that nobody has the right to give it away because the land belongs to the Jews as a nation, not as an individual.
So why did they give it away?
Who?
Today? They don't know what they're supposed to.
They don't know what they're doing. Okay, so pasuk tes. Vayomer aleichem Barisei Leimer, Hashem said to the Jews. Okay, three lines in the end of 940. Vayomer aleichem Barisei Leimer, I said to you at that time, Le'uchal levadi seiseschem, I'm not able to carry you. What does this mean? Like Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu took the Jews out of Egypt. He split the sea. He brought them all the meat they needed. He gave them the mun. He can't do it anything. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jews, the punishment of a judge is overwhelming. Because if a judge makes a mistake, and he's actually taking money from one person wrongly and giving it to another person, like we'll soon see in the next Yipsukim, it's a very big problem. Moshe Rabbeinu says not that he can't physically take care of the Jews, that he's able to do. But he says to handle all the pressures of all the judgments and all that is very difficult. So he says like this, Hashem Elokeichem hir be'eschem. Hashem himself has multiplied you. Okay, this pasuk we started discussing a little bit, but he says, behold, you're like the stars of the sky. Okay, so Rashi says, they weren't like the stars of the sky. There were only 600,000 people, or men, between 20 and 50. But stars is much more. So he says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? Just like the stars are still existing, so are you. And last week, this is what we ended off last week, that there's what's kayamim b'min and kayamim b'ish. There are certain things that are existing from the beginning of creation, the way they were at the beginning of creation. For instance, the sun and the moon and the stars are all the same stars and sun and moon that there were from the beginning of creation. People are existing from the beginning of time, but it's not the same person. It's offshoots. It's what's called kayamim b'min. The species of people, animals, creatures, fish, the species is existing. Kayam and Bamin, like the sun and the moon and the stars, they're still existing the way they were at the beginning. The sun didn't reproduce, and now we have a new sun and a new moon. It's the same sun and moon that were there from the beginning of creation. But the Me'amleh is being done a very interesting thing, and he says like this. Sometimes we find in Chumash, there's a question that a lot of Mefarshim has, but he explains it very interestingly. Here the Jews are likened to the stars. Okay? Another place it says, Kuchel Ayom, like the sand of the sea. Another place, Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, V'yozaracha ka'afar ha'oretz. You're going to be like the dirt of the ground. So the Jews are likened Kafar ha'oretz, like the dirt of the ground. They're likened Kuchel Ayom, Asher la yisafer merayv, that you can't count. Okay? And then here the Jews are likened to the stars. So the question is, like, what are we? Are we dirt? Are we sand? Are we stars? Okay, so a lot of Mefarshim answer, it depends which level the Jews are at. When the Jews are on a very lofty level, then they're on the level of a star. Star shines, bright, right? When the Jews are on a very low level, they're like a fara oretz that everybody steps on. It's a very low level. And when the Jews are in between, they're the Kol Hayom, like the sea of the ocean. In a deeper sense, this is not what the memory is, but in a deeper sense it's explained, Afar HaAretz has its advantage that everything that we eat basically comes from the ground.
Yeah.
From the dirt, from the earth. Right? A fada aretz, even though seemingly it's something that everybody steps on, and it's when you want to say something very low, you see like dirt. Right? The dirt represents something very low. But from the opposite side, all the nourishment that we have, all the food, the things that grow, and the wheat, and the grains, and the fruit, I mean, everything grows from the ground, basically. Everything comes from the ground. So sometimes the Jews are likened because all the hashpa, all the sustenance that comes into the world, comes through the Jews, just like the dirt that creates everything. Kerech ve'ashamayim, is like we said last week, the Rebbe writes in Ayem Yaim, in Hei Cheshvan, the Rebbe writes that the stars, in the olden times, before they had GPSs, how did the sailors in the sea know when they went across the oceans? How did they know where to go? By the stars. That's what led the way. So what does it mean the Jew is likened to a star? They have to be a shining light for the world. Like it said, the goyim are going to follow the light of the Jew. What is the inyan of kechol hayom? Kechol hayom is in the nether. It's too cold? Want to change seats? Kechol hayom, what does it mean the Jews are likened to the sand? There's a very interesting phenomenon of sand. The sand is very, very powerful. The sand holds back the ocean. The Hashem made it. The sand holds back the ocean. That doesn't flood everything. The sand holds it, stops it. But one grain of sand is nothing. One grain of sand can't do anything. When you have all the grains of sand, thousands and thousands, millions and billions, whatever grains of sand there is, that is very powerful, that it can hold back the mightiest forces of the world, which represents the ocean. When the Jews are united, the Ba'achtus, so they can hold back all the most powerful enemies in the world, so to speak. Mayim Ram, all the, you know, the powerful oceans and waters, the sand holds them back. So these are rather good things about the Jews. But he says, the Mamleis explains like this, that these three things of Kafar Ha'aretz, he says like this, Klal Yisrael is likened to the earth. The Jews, the regular Jews, the Yisraelim, are likened to the earth. Why are they likened to the earth? So he says five reasons. Well, we'll go through some of them. Number one is because Torah, you have to be like Ofer, you have to have bittul, humility, to be able to learn Torah. In a Lakai Nitzor, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say three times a day, or four times a day on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say like this, Lakai Nitzor L'Sheni Mera, hold back my tongue, and then we say like this, V'nafshi ka'ofer l'kol tihiya, my soul should be like dirt to everybody, P'sach libi b'seira secha, open up my heart in your Torah. So simply, you learn it as two separate things. V'nafshi ka'ofer l'kol tihiya, I should have humility to everybody, should be like dirt, meaning I should have humility by everybody. And then we ask Hashem, P'sach libi b'seira secha, open up my heart in your Torah. The Rebbe explains it that no, the two things are to go together. In order to have P'sach libi b'seira secha, in order to open up my heart in Torah, you need the level of humility. In other words, the prerequisite of P'sach libi b'seira secha, opening up my heart in your Torah, is if you have a nafshi ka'afa l'kol tihiyah, that you should be considered like dirt. So he says, the same thing, the Jews make themselves like dirt, and they have bittul, or, like he says, the world can't exist without earth, because everything grows, the land cannot go without the yidden. I mean, all these things. And then he says like this. So, the regular Yisraelim, he says, is likened to Ofer. The Levium are likened to Chol Hayam, like the sand of the sea. Why the Levium likened to the sand of the sea? Because what does the sand do? The sand stands between the ocean and the land, right? Because it stops the ocean, right? So the sand stands in between the ocean and the dry land. The same thing, the Levium stand between Hashem and the Jews. who are Hashem's messengers on earth to do the work in the Beis HaMikdash is the Levium. Or like the Yam, this is protected. He goes into seven reasons. And the third thing he says like this. Who is likened to stars? That Shevet Yehuda? Says, because that the kings come out of. Okay? Just like the stars run the world, the kings run the world. Just like the stars shine from one end of the world to the next, the Levium, when they, and it says, just like the Kochavim, the Medrash says that the stars all get along, believe it or not, because they're not Jews. All the stars get along. So it says, that's what it's a Shalom B'mreva, Hashem makes peace and high in the stars. So he says all these things is connected to the, so the three different things of when they're likened to earth, or sand, refers to Yisraelim, Levium, and kings, or when the Jews are on high level, low level, you know, depending or the importance of the of these particular things. So that's why the Torah likens, because obviously, when the Torah likens Jews to different things, it's three different levels. Otherwise, the Torah would not change. Why should the Torah liken Jews to the three things? Anytime we have, even when Torah is likened, we find a similar thing. I don't want to get into it now, but Torah is called water, Torah is called food, Torah is called fire, Torah is called a whole bunch of things. So which one is it? Is it Mayim or is it Eish? Is it the two opposites? So the answer is, there's certain things of Torah which are likened to water, certain things of Torah are likened to fire, and certain things of Torah are likened to bread. So there's aspects, each one brings out a unique level of the Jew. Then in a certain respect, the Jews are likened to the earth. In certain things, the Jews are likened to the sand. And in certain things, the Jews are likened to the stars. Just like you have, sometimes the Jews are called Yaakov. Sometimes the Jews are called Yisrael. Right? So it says, when the Jews are on a low level, or a lower level, then they're called Yaakov. Because Yaakov comes to the word Akiv, heel. That's the lowest part of the person. The heel is the lowest part of the body. Sometimes they're called Yisrael, which is the letters of Li Rosh, which is a head. So when the Jews are on a high level, on a lofty level, then they're called Yisrael. So it depends how we're talking. Same thing, the dirt or the sand or the stars and so on. Okay. Then he says like this, Hashem Elokei Aviseichem, the God of your forefathers, Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Pamim, will add to you 1,000 times yourself. Vivarech eschem, and he will bless you, kashadiber lachem. Like he promised you that he's going to bless you. So Rashi asks, seemingly it says he's going to give you kochem elef pa'amim. So why is he saying, he says already Hashem is going to give you 1,000 times, meaning brachas. So why is he saying again, like he spoke to you? So he said like this, Hashem already promised Avraham Avinu that he's going to have. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God like this. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Jews. This first bracha is what Hashem gave to the Jews. And now, Vivarech Eshem Kashadiba Lachem, that's Hashem is going to bless you even more. Even more than before. As the Gemara says, Teisvasi Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, the addition that God blesses a Jew is more than the original bracha that Hashem blesses a Jew. So in other words, basically the Jews are going to get a double bracha over here from Hashem. And what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jews? Look how kind God is to you. Did all these things that we mentioned before. All the Avedas. Right? And yet, you're still here. You're standing like the stars, the highest level. And you're getting all these brachas from Hashem. Okay, then the pasuk says like this. Eicha esa levadi. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I carry your consciousness, tarchachem, umasachem, merivchem, your burdens, your quarrels? Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I handle all these Jews? And like we said last week, we mentioned it really on this pasuk, we mentioned it before, that the Jews kept, all rabbis should feel good. The Jews always complained about Moshe Rabbeinu. He left his house early to go to the Mishkan. The Jews said, oh, he's in a fight with his wife. He went out late. The Jew said, Moshe Rabbeinu is at home discussing with his wife Lashon Hara about you guys. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu did was no good. The Jews always complained. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's like, the Gemara says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take Yeshua and make him a leader, so he said Yeshua was very humble. He didn't want to do it. So Hashem said, what do you think? What do you think? I'm giving you powerful office? I'm giving you slavery. You know the expression in the Havdol, in the secular world, a politician, they call it a public servant. A public servant is really taken from Torah. Avdus ani neisin lachem. Hashem says about a Jewish leader that you're not having it easy. I'm going to give you problems. You're going to be a slave to the community. A leader, a true Jewish leader, is a slave to the community. What does it mean a slave to the community? It doesn't mean he lets everybody step on his head. A slave to the community means that he is completely dedicated and devoted to the needs of the community. Just like a slave has nothing of his own. It's only what the master wants is what the slave does. Avdus and Inesin Chum, what a Jewish leader is, that Hashem says, I'm giving you as you becoming a slave, it means that he is completely dedicated and devoted to the needs of the community far before his own personal needs. That's the definition of a leader. Okay, so now he says like this. Havu lachem. Provide for yourself. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews like this. I can't do it myself. So therefore, like we learned before, in Parshas Yisrael and over here, that you need to, Moshe Rabbeinu, like Yisrael advised them to take elder, the Skenim, and to take elders and things like that. Okay. Give me Anoshim Chachamim Unaveinu V'yaduim L'Shifteichem. Give me men who are distinguished men, wise and well known, and I will place them on your heads. Okay? So the Klayoker, the Klayoker over here asks, seemingly, the Pasuk is contradiction itself. He says, give me men. That means you're giving me the leaders. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to make them over you. So he says that initially, that it are not the dayanim, only the heads of the shvatim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, but you don't have the ability, you can give me people to be judges, but not people to be leaders. And this is what the Klei Yoker is differentiating in the Pasuk. The first part of the Pasuk is, give me leaders, anoshim chachamim v'yaduim, wise men, to judge the people. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'asimim b'rashechem, I will make the heads, the leaders, the Nesiim, the princes, the heads of the tribes. So he says, the Klei Yoker says it's two different things. One is about judges, and one is about
leader.
Yes. But why it's interesting, Chacham and Nevein of Yiduim, the Sferek is Chabad. Chacham, Bina, and Yiduim is Das. What does that mean? In order to be a leader, or even in this case, a judge according to the Klei Yoker, but in simple meaning of the pasuk, to be a leader, you need to have chachma, you need to have bina, and you need to have das. What does das mean? Das is not only wise. Not all wise men could be leaders. Huh?
It's how to apply
it. How to apply it. Das, I'll give you a simple example. Many brilliant people, when they want to weigh an issue, they're so smart, they say, well, from one side, but on the other side, and they can't make a decision. They're brilliant, they can weigh the issues on all sides, but they can't make a decision because they can't. Das, by the way, when you say a person is about a das, it means he's able to make a decision. You know, they say, why did God create people with two hands? Because the person says, on one hand, but on the other hand. Now, if a guy would only have one hand, the guy wouldn't be able to say that. So God created a person with two hands, they could say on one hand, the other hand.
What's the difference between Bina and that?
No, Bina is a form, Chachamim is a person that gets brilliant brainstorms, good flashes of ideas. Bina is when you understand it and you broaden it to understand it much better.
Applied.
Das is, like you said, applied, but das is binding yourself to it, that you become one with it.
With the Bina.
With the Bina. In other words, you feel it. Das is actually feeling. In other words, you can know something is wrong. A doctor can get up and make a fabulous speech about how dangerous certain things are to do. And the doctor himself will do it. Right? Or lawyers or rabbis, everybody who can make a great speech how it's wrong to do certain things, and they themselves will do it. The question is, they just made a great speech about it, why are they doing it? Because they understand it's wrong, but they don't know it's wrong. What does knowing mean? In Torah, das, that you feel it. You feel it's wrong. There's a difference between knowing something is wrong or feeling something is wrong. When you feel something is wrong, you're one with it. In order to be a Jewish leader, you need to feel. You need to feel another Jew. You need to feel what's right and what's wrong. Not only to know what's right and what's wrong, you need to actually feel what's right and what's wrong. To apply it by feeling what's right and what's wrong.
This is, you cannot get one what? By learning.
Because that's in order to be a judge. That's what you
mean. What's the connection between the feeling and the decision? You can make a decision without feeling also.
The proper decision is when you have a gut reaction. In English, you call it a gut reaction. When your gut feeling, logically, you sometimes can't even explain it. Somebody once asked the Rebbe, is what they say. Somebody wants to ask the Rebbe. People ask you very complicated issues. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Should I take a surgery? Not take it? Well, and you answer them. Like, you never saw them. You never saw the medical. Like, how do you do that? This is what they say. So they say the Rebbe said, have a feeling. I have a feeling what I need to answer. It's like a feeling that I get. So they asked the Rebbe, how do you get that feeling? He said, that's my business. In other words, a tzaddik, when he makes a decision, it's like feeling. He knows he doesn't need to have necessarily the seichel. There's a feeling.
Feeling doesn't need the education. It doesn't need the learning or something. Something is inside the body.
But you still need an understanding in Torah to be a judge and to be a leader. You need to know what Torah wants. You need to know what Torah wants. How to apply it in today's generation or in any generation, particular thing. Like it says, the leader of the generation takes care of the needs of that particular generation. And when we learn Vata Tetzavah, the Maimed, the Rebbe explains that in Mordechai's time, what was needed from the Jews? Mesiras Nefesh. So what did Mordechai feed the Jews? Mesiras Nefesh. In other generations, in our generation, we don't need Mesiras Nefesh. We don't have heart. It's very easy to do mitzvahs. There's another issue. Complacency in Golis. We have no problem staying in Golis, all that. So every tzaddik in that generation, the leader of that generation, needs to know what this particular generation needs. The leader of a previous generation needs to know what that generation needed the most, to emphasize. Now, everybody has everything. You have Torah. All of mitzvahs are important. Everything is important. But the greatness of a tzaddik is to see within Torah itself, what is the emphasis? Do we need Mesiras Nefesh? Do we need this? What does the generation need? And that's what the greatness of a tzaddik is. When Yeshua is picked as a leader, okay, Hashem said, Isha Sheruach Bay, a man that has a spirit. So the Ramban, Rashi says, but the Ramban elaborates a lot on that, and he says, "Shehayahelach keneged ruche shokol echad v'echad." The greatness of Yeshua was that he was able to deal with every single Jew on that particular level. What is good for that particular Jew? And that's not, see, when you have a shaila in halacha, right? You come to a rav and ask a shaila. So if 10 people are asking the same question, they're all going to get the same answer. Correct? It's either allowed or not allowed. You can either do it on Shabbos or not. It's either kosher or treif. If it's good for him, it's good for him. It's not, they're going to get the same answer. When it comes to soul issues, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about, when it comes to soul issues, no two people have the same thing. What's good for you is not good for him, and what's good for him is not necessarily good for me. I told you the famous story that happened. Shidduch, right? The Rebbe told the boy it's good for you and the girl it's not good for you. The same person. So I mean, it doesn't... So the guy wrote to the Rebbe, how could that be? You know, we're going to talk about a shidduch. You're telling me, for me the shidduch is good, for her it's not good. I mean, that doesn't make sense. So the Rebbe answered him, don't you know that it's possible that a shidduch should be good for one and not for the next? In other words, the Rebbe said, you asked me, for you it's good. She asked me, for her it's not good. It takes two to make a shidduch. There's nothing to do. That's not the issue over here. For you, is this shidduch good? Yes. For you, is this shidduch good? No. Obviously, the shidduch didn't happen. Understand? But this is... What? No, it didn't. But it's what each person needs. And this is the Maile Vasimi. And then Rashi says even more from the Gemara. Vasimi, but Hashem, this we learned this... These psukim, we learned a lot now in the Sunday morning shir in Sanhedrin this week. But he says, Vasimim b'rasheichem. What does it mean, Vasimim b'rasheichem? Literally, it means I'll place them. Vasimim b'rasheichem. I'll place them as your heads. The Gemara says, and Rashi brings this down, Vasimim comes in with asham, sin. And Rashi says, what the Pasuk is saying, the Gemara says, Vasimim b'rasheichem, when the people sin, God says, I'm going to blame the leaders. Whose fault is it that the people are sinning? Obama. But the people... He said, leaders. Whose fault is it that the people sin? It's the leaders.
How about the Doini kosher? How come you say our fault?
That's like a person.
Yeah?
Whose fault is it?
RCC. It's not ours.
I always say this mashal. I'm going to tell you something. I always say this mashal, and it brings out a very interesting nekudah. I don't know how many of you remember, many years ago in Israel, the non-firm Jews put on the bus stops, on the benches of the bus stops, they put non-sneas women, pictures of immodestly dressed women. So, of course, the Haredim are bored. So right away they knocked on the board benches and they give them what to do. They thank God gives them what to do, otherwise they'd be bored. So they knocked down the benches. So what happened? So the non-religious Jews went. This was in Tel Aviv. The non-religious Jews went and they defiled Sefer Torah. They partially defiled Sefer Torah. So it became a whole tumult in the world. Look at this, look at the non-religious Jews are doing. The fact this is beyond any evil. I mean, they say, whoa, okay, this Baruch Hashem, God has a very good sense of humor. God makes things tumult for a while, then God makes a new thing, so you forget the old things, and then God keeps the world going. Now, if you stop to think for one second, whose fault is it that the non-religious Jew defiled the Sefer Torah? You know whose fault it is?
Yeah,
not because they burnt down the benches. I'm not even talking about that. If the religious Jews would have taught the non-religious Jews the holiness of a Sefer Torah, they would have never done it. How do you expect a non-religious Jew that never learned, how do you expect him to respect the Sefer Torah? How should he know to respect the Sefer Torah? Whose fault is it that the non-religious Jews don't know the importance of mitzvahs? Who should teach them? They never learned. What do you want from them? It's the religious Jews. Right? This is what the Pasuk says. Vasim min b'rasheichem. The Gemara says what the Pasuk is saying, that when people sin, it's the fault of the leaders. That's whose fault it is.
Is that normally... You're born with it. I know we always pray for it, but are we really? Is that something that you really?
What?
That.
That you have to comes with maturity.
Comes with maturity.
I'll tell you where you have this in simple halacha. Okay. As everybody knows, there are certain 10-year-old kids that are much smarter than a lot of adults. You know that.
Some.
Than a lot. The problem is, then they go downwards.
Okay.
Now, why is it that a not-so-smart 14-year-old is obligated in all mitzvahs, and this brilliant 10-year-old isn't? Right? In Chochma and Bina, the kid has much more seichel than the adult. You know what the kid doesn't have, though? Das, maturity. That is the age. That's maturity of age. You have a brilliant 10-year-old kid, but he's still a baby. Yeah. In order to be obligated to mitzvahs, you need to feel the responsibility of the mitzvah. That's why bar and bas mitzvah are called bar das and bas das.
But that comes from exposure. I mean,
it comes from age. Age, mature.
Age, just age, just experience. Not having
I don't mean if you grow up in the Amazon jungle, yeah. But it's a certain life experience that's maturity of a 13-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid who's much smarter maybe doesn't have.
They say their brain becomes developed exactly at that age. I mean, they've done research for some reason, physically.
Physically? Well, what do you think the Torah knows the physical?
What the age?
13.
13 for boys and 12 for girls.
Rabbi,
yes.
What about if the people don't want to listen? Rabbis try teach them, they don't want to listen. Then they are blamed.
Yeah. The Gemara has an expression: "Devarim hayotzim min alev, nichnasim al alev, uperlim pu'lasim." The Gemara says a phrase. Words that come from the heart go into the heart and they have its effect. If, let's say, if I would speak to you about putting on tefillin, okay, and it wasn't successful, it was my fault, not your fault. Because if I would have really meant and wanted that you should put on tefillin, you would have put on tefillin. The problem is me. I know it's contrary to completely with the way people think. Okay? But the truth is, if you really wanted to influence somebody, you would do it. In other words, in order to be a salesperson, okay? You know, if you're Makai people, you're basically selling Yiddishkeit for all the practical purposes, right? In order to sell goods, as a salesperson, whoever's in business know, you have to first convince yourself that the product is good. If you think the product is lousy, you will never be a good salesman, no matter how great you could lie.
But you're a good... You've done this for many years. You've put on the filling for many years. Why can't you convince him to put the filling on?
Because... 1 minute. A lot of times people put on film because that's the way they were brought up. Do they have the enthusiasm of the tefillin? I'm not saying no, but I'm saying, you know, it's Elul. Everything is great. All the Jews are great Elul. But the bottom line is, if somebody really meant, they would get them to do it. As a rule. There are exceptions to the rule, but...
Inject them. That is easy.
Yep. Okay, Batano AC, right. So you answered me and you said, Teva Dava Shiribarta Lassis. It's good what you told me. Okay. Va'akach, Esiroshi Shiftechem, I took the heads of the tribes, Anoshim Chachamim V'yaduim, this men of Chachma Bin. Oh, by the way, if you notice.
Bina.
The Gemara says Bina's missing over here. Okay?
Yeah.
If you look, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say at the beginning? On the third line it says, bring Anoshim Chachamim, Neveinim V'yuduim. Yeah? What does it say in this pasuk? Anoshim Chachamim V'yuduim. What happened to Neveinim? So Rashi says, Ava Neveinim Le Matzasi. Then Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find people down that level. He couldn't find people, so he took what he had. He couldn't take what he didn't have.
But he asked for them originally.
Yeah, yeah. Initially, that was part of the. Rashi says in Parshas Yisrei, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisrei, told Moshe Rabbeinu 7 criterias to take the leaders. Okay, he says. He says like this. Anshi Chayil, Yir Elikim, Anshi Emes, Seinei Batza. Okay? He gave him 7 criteria. He only found 3. Out of 7 qualities, Moshe Rabbeinu only found people with 3.
How
can you can only do with what you have.
How can one become a Yidua if they don't go through the process of Nebuna?
To a certain extent, you can have a level of Das without Bina.
We just have been talking about it.
No, we just said it. You can have a Bar Mitzvah kid that's not smart.
Understanding something is not hard to be.
So it's purely basic. Yeah? A lot has to do with physical yes. and experience.
What?
Understanding is not hard to be. It's not
proper understanding is hard to be. Because there's a very interesting halacha in the Sma, one of the commentaries on Chesh Mishpat at the beginning. The Rebbe calls the Smer a lot of times. The Smer says that Das Balabatim Hepech Das Teda. The Das of a Balabas is against Das Torah, against Torah's. That's what the Smer writes. Das Balabatim Hepech Das Teda. The Das of Balabatim, business people, is against Das Teda. So the Rebbe explains, obviously, he's not talking about Amiratzim. If you have a balabas who's an illiterate, of course it's against Torah. What's the chiddush? So obviously, what's the Smer saying? The Smer's talking about balabatim business people that know how to learn a lot. They're brilliant in learning. But the fact that they're in the world and not dedicated, completely given over to Torah mitzvahs, their opinion is warped because of their business association. That's what the Sma says. Das bal baitem hepech das teda.
I know what Sma says.
Okay, that's what it means.
This is all the bal baitem that they're learning.
It's hepech das teda. They're not das teda. They can know how to learn. They could be scholars.
Oh, you mean they cannot be a rebbe?
They're not das teda.
They cannot be a rebbe.
They cannot be a das teda. Okay. Officers of thousands, officers of 100, sari chamishim, officers of 50, v'sari asaris, officers over 10. Okay, like Rashi explained, sari alafim means 1/1,000, 1/100, 1/50, 1/10, v'sheitim l'shivteichem, and sheitrim for your tribes. What does sheitrim mean? Like we just read, no, that's sheftim. The pasuk says, "Sheftim v'sheitrim titan l'cha." Sheftim are the judges. Sheitrim are the enforcers of the judgment.
The police.
The police.
Yeah, sheitrim.
No, they're the ones that beat up the people when they don't listen to the judgment. That's what it means. People that the sheiter. It's not the judge. The judge was the shefet.
Yeah, right.
But the shefet made up who gets it.
Officer.
And now there's a lot of dinim that we learned in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Okay? So like this. I commanded the judges in that time saying, Shemeya ben achechem, you should listen between your brothers. Vushvat etam tzedek, and you should judge righteousness. Ben ishu ben achiv, between a man and his brother, uvengeda, and here it means, says as litigant. Okay? Geda does not only mean a person that's a ger, like a ger, a stranger, But it also means, like we learned in the Gemara, one opinion says it means household things. From the word magur, meaning household things that a person needs.
What does the
uncle
say here?
Giyere. Yeah, uncles can learn it means to get. That's bepashis what it means. Okay, see here brings down at the bottom also the Psadi Gorn that learns it means a ger teshev, a guy that lives in Eretz Yisrael. He was also going to Jewish courts. Okay, but here the Gemara learns a bunch of things. What does it mean a tzava sheftechem? What did Moshe Rabbeinu command the judges? The first thing he commanded them, havei mesunim badin. No. Be deliberate, like it says in Pirkei Avos. The Gemara says, what's the source of the Mishnah that says, Havei Mesunim Badin, be deliberate in judgment? This is the source of it, the Gemara says. Listen between the meaning, listen patiently. Don't think, okay, I had this case 10 times already. Chick-chack. You have a case, you need to listen to it patiently. That's number one. Shemaya means listen. Even if it means, like the Gemara says, even if it means a fight over in a house, the duplex. The Gemara gave the example of this. Two brothers inherit a house. Yeah? So it's a duplex. So they need, one needs to get one floor, one needs to get another. So the judge can't go, okay, you take it. They have to listen and realize, understand the property, which floor is better, who should get what, and why they should get what, and all the ramifications of it. That's what it means being geire. And then he says like this, Le'isakiru panim b'mishpat. You cannot have favoritism in judgment. What does that mean? You can't say, oh, this person's such a prominent person, how can I make him lose? He's such a big macher in the community, how can I make him lose? So it says you cannot recognize anybody in Mishpat. Okay? And not only that, here's Rashi says another thing also from the Gemara. You can't say that this guy's prominent, let's appoint him as judges, even though he doesn't know what the halacha is. Le'sakiru panim b'mishpat, this is what the Medrash says, when it comes to appointing judges, there's no favoritism. The person either deserves it or doesn't deserve it. Just because he's a prominent member doesn't mean he should get it. Instead, just because he's prominent. If he's not fit for the job, you can't do it. Kakotin kagodl tishmon. What does it mean? Big and small cases you should hear equally. So the Gemara says, you shouldn't think they're only arguing about a penny. It's nowhere near as important as a $100,000 case. So the $100,000 case I'll do first. And the penny, yeah, we'll push off. The Torah says it doesn't work like that. In Hashem's eyes, a case over 2 cents is as important as a case over $1 million. And that there's an explicit law in the Torah. Le'sakiru kakodin kagodl tishmon means no matter what the case is, you need to give it your full importance and not say, oh, it's only a few bucks anyway, big deal, who cares? For every case, you have to look at the merits of the case and deal with it. And then it says, le'sakiru ne'ish, there's another thing. You shouldn't be afraid of anybody. Okay, what does this mean? It means a few things. Number one, don't fear anybody. Meaning, when a judge knows the case, where it's heading, he's not allowed to back out of the case. He says, oh, Yvay, you know what I'm getting myself into? I'm going to rule against this powerful guy. There was a story, I heard it from my father-in-law, in fact. In Russia, there was a butcher that was very, very rich and powerful in the shtetl. And Nurov came into the city, and he checked into it, and he found out that the butcher was giving treifa meat. He wasn't... And Rav said, Rav publicized that it's no good. But this butcher had all the powerful friends of the city, and they started rioting, you know, cooking up a whole storm against the Rav. And they were belittling the Rav, and they were whatever. So the Rav said, next Shabbos came to show, the Rav said he wants an aliyah. He wants to get called up to the Torah. He gets up to the Torah, before he makes the bracha, the Rav says, holding on to the Torah, right before he's about to make the Baruch Hashem Amreirach, the Rav said, I swear with the Koyach of Torah that the meat of this butcher is treif. And that blew everybody away. All of a sudden everybody melted and it was over. You know, he took the stand and...
Are you allowed to do that?
Obviously he did it.
Yeah, but I mean...
Yes, he could do it.
He could do it.
By the way, it's interesting. Halach and Shulchan Aruch. A judge is not obligated to take a case. As if he says this is going to be a real tough case because he's dealing with prominent people, it isn't that? A judge has a right to say, I don't want the case. Once he takes the case,
he
cannot back out, even if it means coming out against somebody and the Torah said, Leisagurim Neish, he's not obligated to be as faith to anybody. It's like, I'll give you a mashal, the Mefarshim bring down. A pilot, before he takes off on the plane, the pilot has a right to say, you know what, I don't want to fly the plane. I don't want to fly the plane. When he's in midair, the pilot can say, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to fly the plane anymore. That, you can't do that. Because before you take the case, you have a right to say, I don't want it. But once it's there, you can't do it.
Is he allowed to pass it off to someone else, the uprise? In other words, if he can guarantee someone else to...
He has a right not to take the case. He can give it to somebody else.
He can't get someone else to take it.
Once he's in the case, he's not... No. And once he knows where the case is heading, he has to make the decision. He's not allowed to be afraid of anybody. And he says why? The Pasuk said, Kemishpa l'lakim hu. Because it's to God.
What does that have to do with
anything? Huh?
Well, why that makes an...
Kemishpa l'lakim hu? Because God is on your side.
I mean on his side.
On the judge's side. The judge shouldn't be afraid of anybody when he renders the decision because Hashem's on the judge's side. By the way, Rashi quotes also from the Gemara, if you remember, Hashem says to the person, to the judge, you better judge correctly. Because if you take money from him wrongly, let's say Reuven and Shimon, right? And they come to the Dayan, and the Dayan says, okay, Reuven has to pay Shimon $1,000. And he made a mistake?
He has to pay for it.
Yeah, but one sec. But you know what God says? You know what you just did to me? You took money from Reuven incorrectly, wrongly, and gave it to Shimon. You know what that means I have to do, God says? I'm going to have to change my whole nature and get the money back from Shimon to Reuven. So I have to make a whole bunch of mishmashes because of you. That's what the Gemara Rashi calls it, but that's what the Gemara says. Kamish b'lalakimu. Anytime you judge, you're mixing God into the equation.
So why, if he makes a mistake, he has to pay? Hashem was behind him. He shouldn't have to judge.
It depends if he made a mistake. If he's a proper judge, he would never make a mistake. Hashem wouldn't allow him to make a mistake. There's a famous question asked. You come to a judge about capital punishment. You're talking about a judge about main things. Yeah? He's a human being. Maybe he'll make a mistake. What's the answer? The answer is, if he's a proper judge, he has God guiding him not to make a mistake. Remember, I don't want to get into it now, but Adam Zayman, remember we said that if Bezin killed him already, then you don't kill the witnesses, right? So the Rebbeinu B'chai explains others, because if Bezin killed somebody, granted it was based on false testimony of Adam Zayman, but God would have never allowed the Bezin to kill an innocent person. That person was supposed to die anyway for whatever reason it is. Okay.
Thank you.